Thank you very much, ladies. I waited, and then Randy almost stole my thunder. But he didn't go far enough to steal it. Jesus, in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, the first three verses, he's talking with the disciples before he goes back. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And then here it comes. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." That's a tremendous, tremendous promise. You know, we can take it to the bank, folks. Jesus is coming back. And he's coming back for you and I. And I am excited about that. And I don't know when it's going to be. I'm not going to set a date. I can almost guarantee you it won't be December 21st. But I'm not going to make any claims. You know, it's whenever the Father turns to the Son and says, "Okay, go and get them." That's when it'll happen. I pray that people aren't waiting until midnight of the 20th to get themselves right, thinking that's going to happen then, because you never know. What if Jesus comes back on December the 20th at noon, and they're waiting till midnight? You know, it's just wrong to set dates. And the Scriptures declare it's not known. But you know what? The Scriptures also declare, "I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." That's a great, great promise. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask that you would please open up to the 23rd Psalm. And I have to tell you, and I talked with the writer of the letter, and I have to share with you a blessing that came to me this week. And I'll tell you, I was blessed clear down to my socks when I got this little lengthy, and I'm going to read the whole thing, and then probably won't be able to add anything to it for the study tonight. All right? But I want you to hear this. Says, "Dear Pastor Lynn, I don't know if you'll have time to read this, but I just had to write and say thank you. Thank you for giving us the assignment of reading Psalm 23 every day for the week. I hate to admit that I almost always associate this passage with funerals and someone about to pass away. It's commonly seen on plaques, too. I remember sitting at the foot of my grandma's hospital bed, reading her Bible to her, and this was one of the passages read. She's with Jesus now. I started the day with going over this passage before the busy stuff of the day began. Just my first cup of coffee and the Bible, and asking the Lord to show me what He wanted me to see from His Word. Today is Wednesday, 3 days into doing this, and I'm amazed. Wow comes to mind. I'll try to be brief, but I want to tell you what I've learned. None of this will surprise you. It caused me to want to know more and do a little research. In verse 1, the Lord is my," and then in parentheses, "mine shepherd, my leader, to be trusted, faithful. Nothing shall I need. My thought," that's profound and powerful. In verse 2, "lie down in green pastures. Green is a restful color, my favorite color. My thought, I do know it's essential for sheep, the green pastures, to eat, to thrive. The other part, to lie down, is essential to rest. If we are lying down, we can't be busy. Peace and rest. In verse 3, he restores my soul. He refills me with his strength. It makes me even reflect on the start of every day. I love the mornings, the best part of the day. It's awesome to see the sun come peeking out. The darkness turns to gray, to bright, with each stage revealing something new to see in the light. It's a fresh start, a new day. Even if we've blown it the previous day, or don't get all accomplished that we thought we should, the new day is a new start, a do-over. He leads in the paths of righteousness. He steers me in the direction. In verse 4, I will not fear anything because I'm never alone. Jesus is always with me. The rod and staff, the rod I found in studying, was used to correct sheep. It was a kind of a club. It was a symbol of authority, employed to protect. The shepherd also used it to beat bushes, to chase snakes away, and to examine the sheep for disease, part of the fleece, and check for diseases. The staff was used to snag a sheep from harm's way. It was used to guide a wayward sheep to keep it on the path. The staff was also used to release a sheep too. The staff would be touched to the side of a sheep in sign of affection. I found this interesting. In verse 5, anoint my head with oil makes me think of being special, especially his. The Smith's Bible Dictionary says to anoint with oil was a mark of respect, sometimes paid by a host to his guests. It referred to Luke 7:46 and Psalm 23:5. In the official sense, the dictionary said anointing was specially reserved ceremony of inauguration. The last description makes me think of how we're set apart once we make our choice to follow Christ and declare Him Lord of our lives. In verse 6, it is what it is. Goodness and mercy all the days of my life, and to live with Him forever. Forever means forever, and my mind can't measure forever. In our lives here on earth, everything is measured. Time, age, distance, recipes to cook, heights and lengths, everything. So to think forever has no end is mind-boggling. This has been my findings so far. The second day into the study, I saw verse 1 in action. I praise the Lord for how He reveals Himself and how I am in awe of how He takes care of every detail of our lives. I will not go into huge detail, but the main point to my story is our family had a very real need. We didn't tell anyone, but yet that need was met on Tuesday. It was unexpected since we didn't tell anyone. It sure impacted us in a very real way. Thank-filled way. A very real thank-filled way. God cares. He loves us. He supplies our needs. I had to share that with you. I can't wait to see what God shows me the rest of this week from His Word. A passage that applies to every day, not just death and funerals. Wow. My thoughts were way off. Thank you for that letter. You know, sometimes we don't really take the time to study God's Word. We read it, or sometimes we read over it, but we don't really study it. And it becomes almost a duty instead of a dig. It becomes something that we feel like I've got to get through this so I can get on with my busy day, instead of really taking the time to invest in the Word of God and let God speak to us through His Word. This 23rd Psalm is such a deep, deep passage. Far deeper than we give it credit for. And I just can't imagine what David must have experienced when God anointed him with these words. Having been a shepherd, David would have been able to identify with the great shepherd. Having been one who had only the Lord to be able to trust in when Saul was kind of off his rocker and doing all that he could to try to destroy David. And yet David still had a respect for his office. Now stop and think about that. David honored the office of the king even when the king was trying to kill him. That's amazing. But that's the kind of a man that David was. And then to be the one that God chose to bring these words of comfort and encouragement through must have just blown his mind. And I wonder if he fully understood the significance that these words would have. Six little verses. And yet the impact and the power for centuries and centuries is still being effectively experienced by people. These words do bring comfort during times of death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. You know, they still impact us that way. Although the valley of the shadow of death wasn't really speaking about the death experience, but it was a literal valley. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. The experience that David must have had in going through this must have just been absolutely incredible. And so I'd like us to really take a little time and just kind of break this particular psalm apart. And then I would encourage you to do some other psalms as well. They're not depressing. They're not disgusting. They are encouraging if we look at them in a proper perspective. Notice, to begin with, and some of this is going to be a repeat because this is stuff that Val has discovered, but it was also stuff that I was planning on. So Val would do it anyways, even if it's repeat. All right? Notice this first verse. The Lord is Randy Troyer's shepherd. That's correct, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's not complete, is it? Why?
Because he's my shepherd.
No, he's Randy's shepherd.
Well, that's okay, but Randy will share.
But, you know, even though these are the words of David, they are eternal words of value to you and I. Because the Lord... Now, I'm going to shock you with this. The Lord didn't love David any more than he loves you. Did he love David? Yes, he did. And yes, he does. But you know what? He loves you. And so when you look at this opening phrase, the Lord is my shepherd. That indicates that there is a personal relationship with this shepherd. He's mine. He's mine. When it comes to our relationship with the Lord, It's okay for us to be stingy. All right? To have all of God that we can possibly have. To have a level of intimacy with God that, in our opinion, no one else experiences. But I want to tell you something. The love that we experience with God is available to anyone else. As much as the Lord is Randy Troyer's shepherd, the Lord is Bill Paul's shepherd. And the Lord is Jerry's shepherd. And the Lord is Cindy's shepherd. You know, and it's not that God loves this side more than this side. Because He is Marge's shepherd. He is Joyce's shepherd. Even Joanne and Ruth. Even Bill. The Lord is my shepherd. And I don't either. Okay, the Lord is my shepherd. And then notice what takes place. And again, Val covered this idea of what a shepherd is very nicely in looking at the tools that the shepherd uses. But, you know, it isn't just the tools, but it's the purpose that the tools are used for. But when our relationship is with the shepherd, and it's open, and it's personal, we understand that the shepherd has a lot of work that he needs to do on us. And we need to be open to that. The Lord is my shepherd. Now catch the next part. I shall not want. You know what that means? It means I will lack nothing. I will lack nothing. I shall not want. I shall not be in need. I will have all that I need in this shepherd. Last week, someone made a reference to the lack of intelligence in sheep. I don't know if anybody remembers that or not, but someone had made that reference that sheep may not be the brightest of animals. But you want to know something? It's an interesting thing about sheep. They are the gentlest animals. And they are also an animal that is connected with their shepherd. I like cats. All right? But I'll tell you what. Cats have a mind of their own. You know, as long as they want something to do with you or want something from you, then they're all friendly and you know, that kind of thing. And they'll even purr. They'll give you a song when they're contented and you've done your job. But boy, when they're done being fussed with, they're done. And they are persnickety. Sheep aren't like that. Sheep are continually attached to whoever their shepherd is. Jesus used a reference in talking about sheep when he said, I know my sheep, and my sheep know my voice. There is a connection because my sheep trust me. And I'm a shepherd that can be trusted. And if the Lord is our shepherd, we can trust Him. And He will not see us suffer need. He will provide everything that we need for life. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack anything. Everything that is essential for me and for life, He will provide. It's an amazing relationship that the shepherd has with his people. Now notice, and boy, we're never going to get through this. That's all right. Notice verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He makes me. What's missing there? What's that? He didn't ask. Okay. He doesn't drive you. He doesn't drive you. The picture here is a picture of peace and tranquility and calmness. He makes me to lie down, to rest, to take care. Where? In places of plenty. Green pastures. What do sheep need? What's that? Food? Water? Air? Leadership? Direction?
We had sheep when I was a boy. And they were but they always had their lamb the coldest night of the year.
So they weren't good with timing. Is that what you're saying, Bill?
No, I don't know the timing for that one. But I'll tell you, my daddy would get up. We had a wood-burning kitchen stove that had an oven in it, and you could open the door of the oven, and he'd bring those lambs in and keep them warm all night long, eat them with a bottle, get them off to their mother in the morning. Everything was okay.
They need protection. Right? He persuades me. Okay. Okay. The scriptures say he makes. All right. He persuades. But you see, the picture here is that there is a provision that the shepherd makes for us. He provides us a place of plenty. That's why the green pastures. I've been out to Montana a couple of times. I'm not impressed. All right? I know everybody just loves Montana, and it's pretty if you want to look at mountains. But I'll tell you, I do not need to go however many hundred miles it is to look at dead grass and fields. Not impressed. You know, it's probably not very wise, is it, Bill? But, you know, if I can see a pasture type of a setting where the grass is green and lush, there's just something peaceful about that. You know, there just is. There's something peaceful about that. When it's brown and crunchy, I'm sorry, it just looks dead. That's one of the reasons I hate wintertime so much. It's not the cold, and it's not the snow. It's the fact there's no green on the trees. I love the summertime when the trees are just filled with leaves and they're green, and it's just the picture of life. And you see, David, as he is writing this, he says, man, this shepherd of mine who takes care of my needs does this by taking me to the places of green pasture where I can get nourishment, where I can get rest. Have you ever laid down on in a lawn that is just lush and green and it's kind of comfortable? And then have you ever laid down on a lawn where it's sun-baked and everything's dead and crackly? Which is more comfortable? The lush one. That's right. The lush one is far more comfortable. And you see, this is a part of the picture that David is painting. When he looks at his relationship with the shepherd, he is leading me to these places of lushness where there is food aplenty, where there is everything that I need. Now, the spiritual picture here is nourishment for our souls. The Lord is my shepherd. He's not going to withhold from me anything that is essential for my spiritual well-being and for my spiritual life. Isn't it sad that sometimes we only think of the shepherd providing for us at the place of death? When he gives us in this psalm life. This is all about living in God. And that's an important thing. Oh. Next week we'll get Keith Deitch to be a little more quiet. We'll get a little further. We're out of time. I'm going to ask you to please stand. We're going to close in a word of prayer. But I encourage you to continue to read this psalm. All right? Just kind of let it speak to you in a fresh and a new way. Okay? Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for being our shepherd. For loving us enough to care about the things that touch our lives, for providing for us everything that we need for, as was brought out tonight, for spiritual success. Lord, now help us to be sheep who are not stubborn against you, but instead sheep who are at peace and who walk in a unique relationship with you. Thank you for being our shepherd. Thank you for providing for our needs. Now, Lord, watch over us this week. Give us your guidance and strength and direction. May our lives be filled with your glory. For it's in your awesome and holy name we pray. Amen.